Somewhere between 6,500 and 7,000 protesters have been picked up by the police. They have been picked up and put into buses and hired trucks and taken to a makeshift compound near the RFK Stadium. That's the home of the Washington Senators and the Washington Redskins that was named after the late Senator Robert F. Kennedy. The day started out almost before dawn and went on in flux and ebb and flow until about noontime. The demonstrators sometimes moved out into the street, stood in front of cars. They shoved parked cars into the street. They dumped trash cans. They set them afire. They spread, among other things, nails in puddles of oil on the pavement. They ripped up paving blocks from the sidewalks, threw them at passing cars at various intersections. You could see glass all over the street. A truck filled with paper was set afire at one other road crossing. While all of this was going on, flying squads of police, zigzagging on motor scooters, moved in and out of the city with tear gas, night sticks. Those are the heavy sticks that are weighted with a lead core in the center, and tried by charges and feints to break up the demonstrators. Some of the demonstrators cut fuel lines on buses. They abandoned cars. Some motorists said that as they were stuck in the morning rush hour traffic, that people came running up, pulled open the hood of the car, and yanked out the distributor cap so the engines couldn't run anymore. But federal authorities kept traffic moving across the four main bridges over the Potomac River. Those bridges were supposed to have been one of the main targets in this morning's demonstrations against the war. As part of that federal power, there were roughly 2,200 Marines and Army paratroopers. They moved into the city from nearby staging areas in Virginia and Maryland. Helicopters, for example, dipped down onto the grounds of the Washington Monument carrying Marines. The troops, whether Marines or Army, came into town in battle dress with camouflaged helmets, sheathed bayonets, and rifles. With all of that power against the demonstrators, the Attorney General was able to say, by mid-morning, the Attorney General John Mitchell was able to say, that the city's open, traffic's flowing, and the government's functioning. As a result of the arrests, there is a sizable crush in the courts in the District of Columbia. Eight judges have been told to stand by as late as 4 a.m. tomorrow morning to handle the crush of suspects through the courtrooms. At noon, National Guardsmen, as well as Marines and Army troopers, paratroopers, joined the police in patrolling the streets littered with tossed paving bricks, broken glass, as well as great hunks of wood and logs that the demonstrators hoped they'd be able to stop some of the traffic with. Great batches of the Capitol's roughly 318,000 government workers, however, set off much earlier from home than normally and showed up at work hours early, so they avoided a great deal of this. The Civil Service Commission, which is the main body overseeing the activities of all the federal government workers, said the attendance at government offices was overwhelmingly normal. Beyond that, at the White House, Mrs. Nixon was able to give a luncheon for congressional wives without any audible or visible disturbance while that was going on. And late in the day, the Federal Bureau of Investigation has picked up Rennie Davis, one of the organizers of the demonstration. They've accused Rennie Davis of conspiracy and interference with federal workers. Still, rather than pulling in reports from all over town, we thought we might try to take you to the event to get the feel, the texture of the sort of day it's been through a mix of sounds and events.